This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
All right. And by the way, Nelson, some of you just make crap up. Javon Holland's not better than Minka, no matter how much you want to think Greer found another safety because Flores messed up. Hey, listen, we can argue if you want that he's his equal, better, less than, whatever. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is the front office made a great pick in Minka and made a great pick in Javon Holland, okay? And by the way, the fact that there's really not much of a difference or they could be equal and you got him in the second round compared to the first, it actually becomes one hell of a pick. It becomes even more impressive. The fact that this front office got two of the maybe five best young safeties in the NFL, it's pretty impressive, dude. I don't care how you want to slice it. All right, let's get to the man, the myth, the legend. That is Alan Pupar. How you feeling, man? You feeling good?
Yep, I'm doing well. I like your hat. Very cool.
Thank you, sir. It is. I got it at Caneswear. They got a bunch of, old logo hats and... I'm an old logo guy, so I definitely fell in love with it, and I got to get it and pick it up. I saw where the defensive coordinator from Philadelphia said he was staying, and he wasn't going anywhere. It doesn't look like anybody wants Sean Payton, actually, at his price, the demands, the trade compensation, or something like that. So I was afraid that Fangio... may not be a, Miami wasn't his top priority, but I think that it was one of his priorities, but I think it kind of worked out for Miami that the other places looked like they were kind of falling apart, the other destinations for him overall. Your thoughts on how Miami landed Fangio?
Well, let's start with the fact that it's not official yet. It was reported by NFL Network.
Our Pelissero. And then Mike Kliss then came out and said it's not finalized yet. I think it's agreed
between,
to. But,
Between that, it was confirmed by all the beat guys.
Yes.
Including myself. And then Mike Kliss came out with his story. And now there's reporting that it's an issue of going back and forth between Carolina and the Dolphins as the two teams involved. And... nothing's official as of what time is it now? 11:35 on Monday morning, which is a tad unusual because we got confirmation, from a leaked source shortly after it came out, which was yesterday morning. So interesting. But the Dolphins were always going to be involved because of his relationship with Mike McDaniel through their common agent, Richmond Flowers. He's obviously got a tie with the Panthers because he was their first defensive coordinator in 95 when their quarterback was Frank Reich, who's now the head coach. And then I think you and I both know that money is not an object. If Mike McDaniel tells Stephen Ross,
oh yeah, please,
I really would like to get this guy, but it's going to take some money, and Stephen Ross is going to say, okay, tell me how much, and you got it,
right?
So, we'll see, but it's obviously a great get for the Dolphins. Of the four candidates that they interviewed, he's clearly the most established guy. He's got he's got the track record.
Dude, what is the connection? Because they've never worked together.
They share the same agent.
That's all it is? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Pretty much.
That's it. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, that's, he's probably gotten to know him somewhere at some point. Somehow, correct. Something there. And he must have put those two together, and they must have hit it off on something. You know what I mean? There was too much of a connection the entire time that everybody was mentioning it since last year. And by the way, this is also, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think this is also a great sign for the Dolphins that a young guy like this can build a great offensive staff, because he did that. And then you played Human Jenga, and he inherited the other two-thirds of the team. Now he gets to kind of make his own way. And, dude, that's a knockout position right there to say, okay, I'm going to get Vic Fangio as my defensive coordinator. That's the polar opposite of what you just had in Flo, where Flo knew defense just like McDaniel knew offense, but he couldn't figure out the other half of the team. Whereas here's this guy in his second year, and he goes out and gets one of the five best defensive coordinators. I just think this bodes so well. Oh, by the way, he kept Bevel. Okay? That's super strong offseason for Mike McDaniel. Man.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, without question, Mike McDaniel has respect around the league. As a bright young guy, without question. And if Vic Fangio didn't respect the guy, he wouldn't come here. But let's also not be naive and completely dismiss the fact that financial considerations are going to come into play. If there's a huge difference, if there was a huge difference in the offer between the Panthers and the Dolphins, chances are he'd be going with the Carolina. But this is where Stephen Ross, as we've said all along, never afraid to spend to get the guy that, you know, his people want.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Are you expecting a lot of changes on this defense?
Not a ton. I think, like, the one guy, it's funny because that's who you were talking about when I came on. The one guy I would expect to take the biggest jump just strictly because of the arrival of Vic Fangio is Javon Holland. I think like the needle's pointing upward for him, like, big time. I think up front, mind you, his style is less aggressive than what the Dolphins have been operating under the last few seasons, and that's going to put more pressure on the guys to generate their own pass rush up front, which has been a problem, if we're going to be very honest about it. I do think they need to get their hands on a stud linebacker because this defense calls for it.
Yes,
and
a stud middle linebacker that can fly around, and what's it called? That's the good thing about Fangio now, that he will describe the player, and then Chris, Marvin, and Reggie will then go search for that guy and then give him a list of 3-4 guys and say, "What do you think about this, coach?" And then, you know, that'll help out. I think that's the other positive, that Fangio will help you identify the player he needs. You know, you'll probably give him a group of those guys, and then he'll decide on that guy, I think. I think that's a huge get for that.
No, and it wouldn't surprise me if it turned out that the Dolphins' first pick, which will be in the second round, turned up to be an off-the-ball linebacker. Because on defense, that to me screams like a major need. And, you know, no offense to Jerome Baker, who did some good things under the previous scheme, but he's not that guy. Landon Roberts, I actually thought, played very well, but he's got his limitations.
He's great. He's just a two-down linebacker. That's his problem, unfortunately.
He's got physical limitations. I mean, right. he'll never be faster. You know, that's not who he is. But again, given what he has to work with, I thought he actually had a very good year. And then they have a bunch of free agents, as they did last year. They re-signed like a ton of their inside linebackers, their backup inside guys last year: Duke Riley, Sam Egwavan. Guys are on a skip me. They had four of them. They all re-signed them to one-year deals. Now they're all back to being free agents. I'm not expecting them to re-sign all of them like they did last year.
All right. When do we expect this to be kind of finalized and be official? Because it's the Dolphins haven't released anything yet, right? So that kind of tells me that maybe I think they agreed to the deal and they haven't signed it yet. I think that's kind of what it is, but whatever. You tell me.
No, except if it's happening, it would be a shock if it wasn't announced like today, and maybe even while we're talking. I mean, there's no reason to drag this on. Again, if the teaser, I hate to use a cliche, but if the teaser crossed and the I's are dotted, you know.
No, I'm 1,000% with you. What'd you think of the games yesterday?
Both disappointing in their own way. The 49ers Eagles game is like, I was expecting like this, like nights, this great, you know, defensive struggle and all that. And then the 49ers QBs both not yet. And I tweeted,
I mean, Josh Johnson is just terrible, dude. You're not getting anywhere with that guy. You knew you were done.
I think they would have had a fighting chance because they at least could throw the ball, but it also boggles the mind to me how you get into the playoffs where, unless I'm severely mistaken, there are no longer any limits on how many times you can elevate players from a practice squad, why you would not elevate a third quarterback to your game day roster to be protected just in the event something like what happened yesterday happened.
You're so right, bro. You're so right. It's just this hard-on that they have now about, God, we grew up where they always had three quarterbacks active. Always, dude. I mean,
49ers didn't even have one on their practice squad. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that they didn't have one in there, which is just absolutely stupid that you would do something like that and put yourself in that position. And now, okay, Purdy's been, you know, pretty durable. So maybe that's why they rolled and they took when you're playing with Tua, because of the history. You kind of know already this year that, they're probably going to go in with three quarterbacks again because of, you know, unless Tua stays healthy for the next year or two, then they can say, all right, we can dial it back now. We can go with two. Tua's kind of figured this thing out and all that. But for now, I understand that. With the Purdy thing, you can almost understand why you still went with two. You can kind of understand that because it's durable.
I can understand it for the active roster. But to me, you get to a playoff game, and unless I'm mistaken, I didn't see if they had any elevations on Saturday. First of all, why wouldn't you have a third guy on the practice squad? And then why wouldn't you elevate him for the playoff game just in case the wildest scenario occurs? So that game turned into a joke. And then because I was like – it was a 31-7 game, and I wasn't particularly overwhelmed by the Eagles, who I think are actually a really, really good team.
Actually, Hurts was missing people. Yeah.
I thought he was bad yesterday. I mean, they didn't blow me away in the least. And then they took a quick 7-0 lead, and if Kyle Shanahan is quick on his feet and challenges that fourth down catch, that's an incompletion.
Yeah.
And then the other game, and again, this may be my bias because I'm so sick of seeing the Chiefs in there, but – I don't recall a more one-sided officiated game in a long time. I mean, and this is mentioning the fact that
except for the Osai call,
that one you had to call. That was just a brain fart. But it seemed like every close call. And there was one. In fairness, there was one pretty lame unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the offensive lineman Wiley because he made some gestures after.
No, they were bad. They were bad yesterday. You're right. But
there were so many ticky-tack calls, and it seemed like every one of them went for the Chiefs. And the ending was so anticlimactic that you're looking at the possibility of going to overtime, and then you get that really, really bad penalty, and it like Butker's going to miss. I mean, that dude's money. So.
Yeah. And you know, I was talking about this. That's a penalty you try in the first and second quarter. Because the trade-off at that moment, okay, well, we give up a field goal, but I had a chance to knock Mahomes out. Well, at that moment, that's not what you want to do. At that moment, you got to use your head. I almost understand those guys that take a risk early in the game. It's not right, taking a dirty shot or whatever. But I get the trade-off at that moment. It's kind of like in basketball. You try to – the lesser player tries to bait the star into, you know, going at it, and then both of them get thrown out, and the head coach is going, okay, I don't mind. I got rid of my eighth player, and they got rid of their star, so I'll take that trade-off for the rest of the game. You know, I understand that, and that's where Osai just screwed up. That's not the place you take the gamble. You got to have better awareness than that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In his defense, when he's chasing Mahomes, busting ass running to the sideline, I'm pretty sure he's not looking down and saying, okay, where's the sideline? His eyes are strictly focused on Mahomes.
Right.
And then he sees Mahomes that kind of started slowing down a little bit.
Right.
So maybe completely lost, you know, spatial awareness and didn't quite know where he was and did the shove. And Mahomes kind of sold it a little bit too, if we're going to be honest about it. And
yeah,
they kind of gave him no choice.
You got to sell that. That was a dirty play, and you sell it. So what? Who cares? It was a penalty. It was the right call. There's nothing about – whatever you want to say about Mahomes, you know, because I've heard that too, and it's, you know, whatever, bro. It's not a big deal.
If it's hockey, Osai would have gotten a penalty, and Mahomes might have gotten a penalty for embellishment.
Maybe.
But this is not hockey. So.
No, it's not hockey. No. And he would have run into a wall. Which would have hurt a little bit more too, for Pat Mahomes, you know, and you might have gotten knocked out at that moment if you're running into a wall. By the way, what do you think about the Super Bowl now?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think it looks like it's been Philly's year the whole year. I made the comment on Twitter. I think the NFC is really bad to me. It was so top heavy. And the other thing, the Eagles had such an easy pass to the Super Bowl. But it's got to feel like it's their year. I think they might have problems if they don't get to Mahomes. But and the Chiefs do have a very good offensive line, but that Eagles defensive line is no joke. I'd be inclined to think Philly's going to win. Yeah, that's where I would say it.
You're going with the better line and D line. That's what you're doing. I got you.
Correct, but Chris Jones can be a game wrecker, except the Eagles' offensive line is really good.
But the Eagles' offensive line is the best offensive line in football, bro, and their D line is the best defensive line in football with all their damn sacks. So right now there's a reason why. It's not just Jalen Hurts is fantastic this year. That O-line and that D-line are just absolutely sick, bro. They control the line of scrimmage.
That's the biggest reason they're Super Bowl. No offense to Jalen Hurts, but it's the O-line and the D-line. I mean,
I agree with you. And your pick makes all the sense in the world that you're going with the team with the strongest O-line and D-line. The good thing for Kansas City, they've got Pat Mahomes.
Correct.
That's the good thing for Kansas City, that they've got, you know, an ultimate eraser like Montana or Brady or, you know, any of those other guys in the past that we've ever talked about, those guys that are just, you know, special. And you look, yesterday, as great as Joe Burrow is, and we love the kid, and he's fantastic, he played like dog crap yesterday. He made a bunch of bad throws. He got a couple of interceptions. And when you look at Mahomes, he made the much better throws throughout the game. And that's just the bottom line, I think, overall.
Well, he also had a lot better protection. Here's the other point that needs to be made about the Super Bowl is the Chiefs' O-line isn't a disaster in terms of health that it was No. 2 years ago when they got in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, where Mahomes was running for his life the entire night.
Amen. 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 And, you know, somebody putting Chris Jones as a game wrecker, that might just be the most important player on that side of the ball for the Super Bowl, like Mahomes is on the other side. If Chris Jones isn't a game wrecker, I don't know how Kansas City wins. Let's put it that way.
He was the game MVP yesterday to me, and we're
yes.
close.
Yes, yes. But he has to do that against a better line next
Correct.
Week. Because Philadelphia is nasty, bro. They are nasty. I got to give them, you know, a lot of credit. Special teams-wise, I almost get the feeling that they already knew where they were going on defense, so Josh can get a jump ahead. And so that's good. They did him a favor, too, at the same time. But on the other side, do you think Crossman is staying? Or is that a position that he wasn't sure, so you hang on to Crossman until you can find something better?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised by that one because the special teams were just plain bad. I mean, they were just bad.
Apparently his agent doesn't represent a special teams coach that he likes.
There you go. No, and then I think part of it that may have been it too. I mean, would Mike McDaniel have been as quick to jump the gun on Josh Boyer if he didn't have Vic Fangio or somebody else that he really liked, you know, looming in the background, whereas the case isn't the same when it comes to Danny Crossman. So
Tomorrow I'll be running into a whole bunch of coaches, agents, and I'm going to start digging in and find out what the hell's going on that side. So I'll be roaming the fields in Mobile.
Yeah, and as far as I know, that I don't know of any connection between Mike McDaniel and Danny Crossman, who was another guy he inherited. I don't recall the Dolphin special teams being all that great in 2021 either. So not sure why he was kept in the first place, and then the special teams were downright bad last year. So that's a little bit of a strange one for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right. You looking into anything that Tua's not taking part in the Pro Bowl? Because to me, doesn't mean shit, but whatever.
It doesn't mean – no. It means less than that, actually.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm actually – I think what he needs is just an off season where he just gets to recover and rest and instead of going to the Pro Bowl, what I think, you know, my problem with all of this is I think people are missing the boat on what really is going on. I don't think he wants to go. I don't think he needs to go. And then the worst, the most important thing, I don't think he wants to deal with all the BS. Because if he goes, what's the questions that he's going to be constantly asked for several days?
Of course.
So who wants that misery, dude? You know, just take a couple months off, get away from everybody, and then come back and turn the page and start fresh and start talking football. And a couple months from now, you can't talk about it. But now you're still fresh from all this stuff. That's all he's going to do is get bombarded with crap. Why even take that on?
Well, but Big O, let's be honest. Whenever he does his next media availability, however form it takes, whenever it happens, you know all the questions are going to be about his health and the concussions.
Yes. Yes, but see, the good thing is when that starts again, it's only for a moment, and then you turn the page and you start playing football, and all you got to do is start talking about practice and everything else. But for a whole couple of days in Vegas, that's all he's going to get the entire time. He's just going to get bombarded with all of that because it won't be about football because the Pro Bowl's not about football. But at least in training camp, you'll get that first day. Okay, how was your off season? This, that, how you feel? Great, great. Boom. And then that's it. And you're going to turn you're going to Bob Seger it right away.
Turn the page. Very nice. I like it. I love Bob Seger references. I'm not one of those. I'll be honest. Because even if he were to go to the Pro Bowl, and it would be one day, one time, where he would deal with all of those questions, and that would be the end of it, because then either he wouldn't do any more media the following day, or
he has sponsors.
Well, correct. Or it would be like, guys, I talked about it yesterday. No need to rehash. And nobody would hold a grudge against him. But the bottom line is, I mean, it's not even the Pro Bowl anymore, which was yeah, as we know, a joke to begin with. Now it's a Pro Bowl game, so we don't get to see him play flag football. I mean, who gives a shit? Like I said.
All right. Well, they got a plan in place. We'll see what ends up happening. Do you expect him to be active in free agency?
Moderately, because they don't have a ton of cap space. They have some business to attend to, primarily the running back position. They basically have nobody under contract. I can't imagine they're going to be signing a ton of like big money guys. That's going to be more about maintaining.
I agree.
There's going to be some restructuring of contracts. Tyreek Hill. I would expect Christian Wilkins to get an extension.
Hell yeah.
Which will help with the cap because you can structure it in a way where it's less painful than the fifth year option in the first place. But the idea of like going out and getting a Teron Armstead and Bradley Chubb or Tyreek Hill in free agency, even though I know two of those were trades, but players of that stature in free agency, I certainly wouldnldn't count on it.
All right. What are one of your 86 articles that you're working on today? What are you doing at alldolphins.com that every Dolphin fan on the planet needs to bookmark?
Well, it's going to be Fangio stuff, digging into statistical research now. Going to continue my top 10 list. I think today I'm going to do the top 10 transaction personnel moves of 2022.
Okay. All right. Well, Fangio's number one in 2023, baby. Holy moly. That is one.
It's official first, though.
Yeah, it's official, bro. I'm not. I don't think Pelissero reports shit that's wrong, dude. He's pretty damn good. I got a lot of respect for that guy, man. He's well connected. If he throws it out there, I just think it's agreed upon, and it just hasn't been finalized. That's
all. Bro, like I said, it's not just Pelissero. Like all the beat guys, we have confirmed it.
Right. I know. I know that all the beat guys confirmed it. But what I'm saying is, normally Pelissero is kind of like Woj. Like when they drop it, they're pretty they're pretty responsible dudes, bro. They're not just gonna, you know.
It doesn't change the fact that I'd like it to become like official. I would get get the email from the Dolphins saying, you know, press release the Dolphins.
John Hancock, bro. You're not going to get it until the John Hancock is done. That's what it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. He's probably going to use the team plane a couple times to go visit the girlfriend out West Coast and the mom. Is the mom on the West Coast of Florida or on the East Coast of Florida?
Who, Vic Fangio?
Yeah. I forgot now.
I don't know details of his personal life.
Well, you should listen to the Ben Albright interview we had. Ben, obviously, you know him. He's over in Denver. He told us Fangio's mother's here. His girlfriend, who's a surgeon, a big-time surgeon in Southern California. Nice. And so the idea was, does he take something closer to the girlfriend? Does he take something closer to the East Coast? He has family in Philadelphia. So he's consulting with the Eagles. So a lot of people thought that, okay, since he has family there and consulting, if the defensive coordinator takes the Houston job, which now D'Amico Ryans is, okay, then he replaces him because he's already consulting. He stays with the family. East Coast, he can connect with his mom in Florida. Well, now he takes this job, so he's got his mom here. So then it'll be a back and forth with the girlfriend out in the West Coast. So apparently,
what I was told is he has a home in Santa Clara, which brought about the 49ers connection.
Right, right. Yeah, so there you go. How about that? So that's it. So the man is like Sagua Fair. He's everywhere.
That's and there was no – he didn't have any roots anywhere related to Carolina.
No.
Except he had a connection with Frank Reich, and David Tepper was throwing money at him.
Right, and David Tepper's got a lot of money to throw at people.
but so does Stephen Ross. And Stephen Ross
– amen.
Not getting any younger, and he wants to try to make some hay in the playoffs.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, follow him on Twitter at PoopHardNFL, and remember, if you're a Dolphins fan, you're really not an official Dolphins fan if you don't bookmark alldolphins.com. That is the source right there, alldolphins.com. Alan, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up later on in the week, my friend.
You got it. Thanks, Big O.
Thank you, sir. There you go, the great Alan Poopart, baby. And our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. And remember, when we talk about Eric and all the great people at EJD Construction, some of you know, because over the last few years, some of you have called EJD Construction and you've experienced it for yourself. First class, the way he handles the clients, he will listen to you to make sure he actually builds what you want, what you're searching for. Right, Alarmo? That's what it's all about. Fully insured liability and workers' comp. So everybody that steps on your property is fully insured. Anybody gets injured, they're not suing you. Make sure. If you don't hire EJD Construction, whoever you ever hire to work in your home or your business, they got to show you proof that they're fully insured. Because if somebody gets injured, they're going to sue you. And that's a problem you don't need. EJD Construction, 305-433-4843. Fully insured. AAA rating from the Better Business Bureau, and they do it all. We're talking about custom home construction and major home remodeling. 305-433-4843. And let me tell you, they do shell construction in-house. That's how they keep the cost down, and they can do anything that you need. Add a second floor, build a brand new kitchen and modernize it. Whatever you want to do, they can do it for you. 305-433-4843. Go to the Instagram page, ejdconstruction.com, and you'll see some amazing work by a great company. Dade or Broward County, call 305-433-4843.